Blog Talk Radio.
Such quality,
up from the grave,
and such a wonderful. You know, people that don't recognize the genius of that woman, and we lost her far too soon.
Yeah.
Just wonderful, wonderful. Welcome, people. Welcome to another Wednesday.
Welcome to the jungle.
Okay, that's a totally other different artist.
Yeah, Guns N'
but
Roses.
Do you like them?
I love them.
I never knew that.
No.
Now see, this is
just heard this morning.
What?
It's so funny that we're talking about
what?
It because I'm a huge Howard Stern fan. That they're going to be at the Apollo.
They're still together.
Yes.
Oh.
The Apollo. I think it's
isn't that something? Okay.
July 25th.
I didn't know that.
One night only.
But see, Elite Ziegelman, this is the beauty of our relationship. That after
over
7 years. I know.
I
could still
imagine.
Sit here in amazement. I didn't know that about you.
Yeah,
I
love
didn't know
them.
You were a Guns N' Roses fan. But
do you know how long November Rain is? How long the song is?
It's a long song.
Yes.
It's not quite Hey Jude, but
no.
It's
nine minutes.
Oh, then it's more than Hey Jude.
9 minutes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the longest song in
Guns N' Roses. Actually, they were actually trying to imitate that song from Elton John, you know, Funeral for a Friend.
Yes. Absolutely, but that was
so
under
that. Right.
That was, that was long for the time, but that was kind of like that was like a two-part song.
Yes.
That was like,
yes.
You know.
I loved the beginning of that song.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was a great song.
And that was like 1974, I think. That's when he was just starting to...
Name that date.
Yeah, well, that I'm good at. But you know what? Wait a second. I got a song here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, this is perfect for today, right?
It's Toto, right?
No, darling.
No?
Oh, I see where you're going with that. No.
Oh. I thought it was Toto. For the line.
Baby, you
right?
Got that right. Yep. Sly and the Family Stone. I figured that's a great song for this week.
Yes.
Right? It's,
happy
it's
summer,
happy
everybody.
Summer. That's right. Today's the first day of summer.
Here you go.
Sly Stone, but you know something?
That was Sly Stone, huh?
That was Sly and Family Stone. Sylvester Stewart. Did I ever tell you this? No, I know I'm always in the doghouse when I tell you something and I repeat myself.
Uh-oh.
Okay. But years ago when I was in a band that was being managed by this guy who also was friends with Sly Stone, Sylvester Stewart, this manager used to come in at every rehearsal. And if Steve Azara, if you're out there, I'm not trying to say anything disparaging, but he would come in with a picture of he and Sly Stone playing chess. And that's what he used to come to every rehearsal with, just so we knew
that he was friends with Sly Stone.
He did nothing for us. But,
but he was friends
again,
with Sly Stone.
Again, Steve, nothing disparaging. But you know what? All that aside, welcome, people.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to another Wednesday in Gotham. And you are with She's Raising the Bar. Cast of characters, easy enough. It's really a two-person show. But darling, don't look at me like that.
Ooh, we're in the car, and we're going for a ride, and we're going to pick up some passengers.
But that's, you know,
there
Lisa,
you go.
You are so on. It's sickening. Elite Ziegelman is she.
Yes.
Lori
Towers.
That was for me.
Okay.
Ha!
I'm a little behind.
We are, she's raising the bar. Woo-hoo! And today is, today is, I think it's like one of our favorite shows because we have our monthly roundtable discussions. And it's really nice because you never really know where it's going to go, right? I mean, you pick a topic and you have, and that's the beauty of having open dialogue. You have different people, different points of view. You don't have to agree, but you end up in a different place and it's sometimes good, sometimes bad. So I think it's always good. I think freedom of speech is always good, and that's what
we're blessed with
that's
in America.
And I'm hoping we hang on to it as long as we can.
Yeah.
But, today we are going to have our usual cast of characters.
Well, not usual. We have a new one on
board.
We
have a special guest, Nancy, face of the 80s and 90s, Donahue will be joining us, and she was a guest on...
Yeah, a couple of months.
Last month. I don't know. She was like when we changed the format, she was like, I think end of March, April, something like that. She was on pretty recently, but a little bit ago, and she has a lot to say, and, you know, she was in the modeling industry for many years, and so the topic today that we're going to have is going to be perfect. It's going to be perfect fodder for
especially
all of us.
Being in the model industry.
Today, what we're going to be, first of all, wait
today.
A second. Wait. Where's my manners? I didn't turn to you.
Oh.
My loveliest of co-hosts. And ask
what are you drinking?
And ask you. How are you, Lee?
I'm great.
Okay. I just wanted to
go
ask
on.
That. Now I can
who
go
are
on.
You?
You know what? I am better.
No. I'm great.
You know, you always get the same thing from me, so
there
that's
we
what
go.
I'm
thank God you're great.
But today what we're going to discuss is, and I know I'm in the doghouse with you a lot sometimes when you say I'm repeating something that we discussed a couple of weeks ago. We had Louise Sorrell on the show a couple of weeks ago, and she's like a face that everybody would know. I think everybody in our age group would know because she was always on a show
right.
that was on. And I brought up the fact that we were listening to the news one day, you and I, and we heard that Wonder Woman was in the theaters, and it grossed, I think, the first night was $100 million.
Wow.
And, you know, of course, the numbers are phenomenal. That's great. But what I was surprised at is the fact that it was the first time in cinema history that was... A film that was presented by a female director.
Mm-hmm.
And so we discussed that just as an aside, that I thought that was almost sad that was the case. But what I want to discuss today is, and we you and I really should see the movie,
yeah,
as kind of like a science project, because
mm-hmm.
I know a couple of our panel had.
It has.
But what I want to discuss is, having seen the trailer and everything, and you know, we have the recall of Linda Carter being Wonder Woman on TV, and of course, for the time she was pretty well sexually exploited, and of course the costume design was you know there was a whole lot going on that wasn't left to the imagination.
Oh, that's
and,
the way it is with women.
Well, but the fact that it was a female director, there wasn't as much.
Right.
So there was a little bit of courtesy spent to the costume design. My question is, even with a female director, have we still played into the same hand of making every woman feel that she should be a size one?
No. No, of course not.
But this is what
I don't think she looked like a size one.
I think
though.
She certainly would. She
you think so?
If she was way baby doll. There was
smaller than Linda Carter because Linda Carter wasn't small.
Linda Carter was a size 4, but Linda Carter was 6 foot. So that's
right.
The equivalent of.
I don't think this one is short either.
Well, she's not Linda Carter.
Linda Carter.
But
right.
What I'm trying
I'm
to say is
in general that she didn't look like she was very petite.
Not petite. But again, 60% of the female population is overweight.
Mm-hmm.
So now, are we still making those same mistakes, even with a female director, are we still making the same mistakes in having women think that the norm is that size?
Hmm.
See, this is where, and again,
yeah.
I'm all for, I'm.
I totally get what you're saying, but they want to make money. And they're not going to make money with a heavy woman in that costume.
This is where I'm saying, where do we make the changes?
I don't know.
And I'm not saying.
It's not great for the eye to see that, though.
But see, now, wait a second. this is what we're going to discuss with our panel,
right.
And I think it'll be a very, very
it's
interesting
a, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Trajectory, because it's going to be, again,
I understand where you're going with
that. It's that whole Barbie mentality of having your little girl go to a movie with you. Now, my question is Wonder Woman inspiration or intimidation? That's the question of the day. Now, again,
is
all
it
our superheroes...
intimidation or inspiration, or is it strength, where women should
wait,
be strong?
Wait, but I think you're right. But
yeah.
What I'm trying to say is, how many women will go to the theater and say, I can do that? Now, again...
Oh, come on. This is... Just,
but no. But, and I know that most superheroes
that's
are
what it
well-built.
Is.
But what I'm trying to say, again, is... I'm wondering if there could have been a little bit more room to let this woman not be as, I mean, of course she had to be fit, but I think, I don't want to say the word average size, but I think there has to be some room in the future for that. Because again, it's going to theater with your daughter, who may or may not be, you know, that size yet. Maybe she will grow into it, or maybe grow out of her certain curves that she has as a young person. But it's kind of hard to see, again, something that might not be realistic to obtain. You know what I'm saying? And again, look.
Again,
I'm going to agree with you.
Again, we're going to the movies where we're not
escaping
looking at
the
escaping.
I know.
We're not in the right.
Mm-hmm.
This is not reality that we're looking
at.
This is a movie. It's not real. It's not true. There's no such thing as a superhero besides you and me. Okay?
Yeah, well, that's... Thank you, Dawn.
There you go.
So,
would you like to talk to people about it?
Are they already
around,
on?
I think so. I think so.
Well, we're just going to... Let's bring them on and...
Let's see. Hello?
Hi. How's it going?
Hi. And your caller, you are...
My name is David.
Hi, David.
Carolina.
How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
How can we help you?
Well, I know you're old, but I still want to lick your pussy. Can I do
that? Okay, goodbye,
David. Bye-bye.
Well, you know something? That had to happen occasionally.
Yes.
That had to happen. Thank you for calling,
Thank
David.
Thank you.
There you go. See, but you know
okay.
what? That's the beauty of...
I knew that number didn't look
you
right.
You get callers. See, this is how we know that
we're out there.
We're out there. Okay.
I'm going to bring on our panel.
Bring on our panel.
There's one, there's two, and there's three. Hello, ladies.
Hi.
Hi, everybody.
Okay.
Hello.
One at a time.
Did we hear that just now?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Yeah, there you go. First, let me. Yeah, you know what? This is the problem. We don't have a 7-second delay.
No, that's the problem.
And I just knew it was going to go in that direction, but what could you do?
Right.
Mirov and Patricia, I want to introduce Nancy Donahue. She's joining us today.
Hello, so Nancy.
Say hello to her.
Oh, hi, girls.
Hi, great to meet you.
Nice to meet you, doll. Nice to meet you, too.
Give them a clap. There we go.
So now we know we're not going to... Any numbers that look odd,
we don't pick up.
That's all
no.
it is. But it's nice to know people listening to the show.
Yeah.
Now, ladies, welcome aboard. I don't know if... I think most of you heard what we were discussing about. And I think most of you, I think Nancy and Mirov saw the movie Wonder Woman, so you're going to be helpful in that. But what my point was to Elite is, have we yet again created some body type that might not be realistic to the average woman going to the theater? And again, with specific numbers being 60% of the female population, is moderately obese, overweight. How do we change that?
For me, I'm just happy that there's a movie that features a badass woman.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was saying
with a badass director. So I'm really still stuck at phase one. I did not even get to think about phase 2, 3, etc. I really feel like we should concentrate with the fact that it's about women, and we should celebrate it. And I do understand why they chose a hot chick, you know, because they want to appeal to all demographics, including
mm-hmm.
men. But I really feel it's a wonderful, wonderful start, and I think only good things will come out of it in the future, and maybe in the future they will change things, but it's just the beginning, and I think it's wonderful.
Yeah, I have to agree. I think it's wonderful, too, but, you know, it also is, if you read her Gal Gadot.
Gal Gadot.
Yeah, if you read her bio, I mean, this woman is a true athlete. I mean,
yeah.
She was in the Israeli army, and, you know, she studied all jiu-jitsu and all forms of karate and things like that. So kudos to her for getting the role.
Yeah.
I mean, this is one of her first major roles. And, Lori, to your point, and I think we talked about it briefly before, but, yes, the fact is 60% of this country is overweight, and that's a problem. That's a real big problem. When I saw the movie, I thought it was fantastic. I didn't think for a minute that, oh, my God, I should look like that, or what is everybody else going to think?
That's
and I didn't
thing.
Think for a minute. I didn't
Good.
Think for a minute. I thought she's a great athlete. That's what I thought. And
right.
I was like, I want to take these classes.
Yes.
Jiu-jitsu and all that. That's what I
yes.
thought. So I didn't think otherwise at all.
Patty?
Yeah, well, as a role model, I mean, the fact that she is athletic and she is truly inspirational is a great thing. And it is true that, you know, based on the research that I've done, that in the U.S., the average woman falls between a 16 and an 18.
Wow.
It's probably,
yeah.
I know, right? And she's about 5'4 and weighs 166.2 pounds. So, you know, are we ever going to have, I mean, we do have role model actors and actresses and athletes who are not like skinny minis. But at the same time, you know, she is representing strong, kick-butt kind of woman, and she is a supernatural hero. I don't think you see too many men, male superheroes that don't look, well, except for the Incredible Hulk, and he's like big and green. But, I mean, otherwise, you really don't, I mean, they're pretty buff, too. So I think it's just the genre. If you are a superhero, you've got to be in top shelf form, and maybe the rest of the population will be inspired and
yes.
you know it's achievable.
Yeah.
And you know, usually if there is somebody in a role in a movie who is not like super svelte or petite, you know, thin, you know, they're usually the sidekick. You know, even
yeah.
in Nancy Drew, you know, she had her two
yeah,
sidekicks.
That's right.
They're not in the main. They're not on the, you know, they're not the ones on the marquee so much.
Well, no, but Amy Schumer has been is the main.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah,
she's great.
Right.
She's amazing.
No, she's great, and she's a comedian. But, you know, so that's just a whole different movie. That's a whole different idea and
yeah.
film and everything. But and that's to the other perspective, right?
Right.
So, yeah. But I agree with you, Patty.
I know what you're saying, Nancy. That she doesn't care.
She doesn't care.
She is comfortable in her skin.
Yep.
And
yep.
she will show, you know, even if she's
same
a little overweight.
Same with Linda McCarthy. Same with,
right.
I mean, I'll let you name
saying, Linda McCarthy,
McCarthy. Yeah.
right.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't see, again, you don't see, you know, I mean, Superman was buff. You don't see somebody,
right.
you
right.
know.
They won't portray
a chunky
well,
hero.
Well, although truth be told, I mean, Steve Reeves, may his soul rest in peace. I mean, he really wasn't buff. I mean, he was holding in his stomach the entire time.
Well,
I mean, but,
we didn't know that.
What I'm trying to
right.
say is, and I think he wore a girdle for a lot of it.
Right.
But the thing is, obviously, that the
and I think his suit had those
yeah,
built-in
sure.
muscles,
but
right?
It was 1963,
right.
whatever it was.
But you know what's interesting, too, a lot of times, I mean, I'm not a big, like, pop culture follower and reading a lot of celeb interviews, but, you know, when there is a role, male or female, that demands a certain appearance, you'll
yep.
see the you'll hear or see the actors or read the actors and actresses discussing what they had to do to get into that
exactly
shape.
Right. Yep.
So that's an inspiration, too. It's like
definitely.
They didn't, like, walk on the set looking like that. They worked for months.
Exactly.
Yep. I worked very hard.
It just shows everybody that it's achievable.
Yes.
Exactly.
And it's really up to you, and you can't sit in the movies and complain. It's really up to you. It's a state of mind.
No, that's a great point.
And you sit there and eat buttered popcorn.
that's the next point. You're sitting there, yeah.
I could do that if I want.
Nachos with cheese.
And Marav, that was a very good point because now I lost my train of thought. How bad is that? But this is bad. It's called being 59 and forgetting what you should say next.
Nancy, it's a 90-minute show. Go ahead. We have time.
Don't worry about it.
No, I'll let you carry on. I'll remember it somewhere along the conversation. It'll pop back
no,
in.
No, she's saying it's achievable. Maybe I'm
yeah,
good
no, it, okay, so it is achievable. And, yes, it's inspirational. And, yes, maybe young girls, Lori, like we spoke, I think, yesterday, maybe young girls will aspire to take, you know, karate and jiu-jitsu. And that's cool. You know, it's very inspirational for young people. Even if they're not in the best of shape now then, well, maybe they want to achieve that. And that's something great because, Lori, as you said and previously, 60% of the country is overweight.
Yes, overweight.
You know, and that's not healthy. That's just not good. You know?
It's not even overweight. A lot of people just don't move their bodies. That's the thing. They have to move their bodies and know that physical fitness is very important no matter what, you know. Even if you could still be, you know, a little overweight and stuff, but if you could move your body the way a normal person can or a skinny – I mean, there's so many overweight women that are more flexible and more, you know, athletic than they are skinny girls that, you know, and if you test their – body fat ratio compared to them, I'm sure the skinny girls will have more body fat than the heavy girls.
The thing is, you could be average weight, and you could be skinny and not be in condition.
Exactly. I mean, you know, never judge a book by its cover, I always say.
Never judge
a book by its cover.
No.
Well, you know what's with commercial, and now I can't even remember what company it's from. It might be Intel. But it's this woman who, she actually was this famous neuroscientist, Millie something, and she was like 92. And you have all these people wanting to take pictures of her, and the commercial goes on to say, wouldn't it be something if rock stars were people that were intelligent? I mean, we actually held them up the way we hold up rock stars. And you probably know this commercial, and people are like taking selfies with Millie, and this was an actual Millie Neusberger or whatever, she's passed, but she lived to 95, and she won, I think, the Peace Prize many times, and she was a doctor, one of the first female neurologists or neuroscientists or whatever. And I just thought that's, and here's this little old lady, she might be 4'11", hunched over, but she was like a rock star, and this is an actual woman.
But I don't think a lot of people even knew about her.
But this is what I'm saying.
She's not lookable.
But see, that was my point entirely,
because
it's like this woman changed the lives
of visionary and inept.
So many that she probably would never meet because she never, you know, never left her office or the lab, but yet she had such a monumental effect on all of our lives. And again, not aesthetically appealing, but my God.
But I would love to have met her.
That's what I'm saying.
I would have loved to have met her. There must have been several articles and so forth written about her, correct?
Yes, because, you know, the funny thing is when I started looking, I was very attracted to the commercial because I thought it was just really so nicely done. I think it was Intel or something. And I looked her up, and she died, I think, a couple of years ago, but at the age of, like, 96. But it was her in the footage. And I just thought, wow, that's real. You know, they actually, someone thought to dig up this woman and say, you know, she's worth knowing. She's worth, you know, celebrating.
Yeah. Well, of course.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And she's like this little slip of a thing.
that's what happens when we get older, dear.
Well, honey, I'm thinking, I mean, you know, if you're 5'7", you're not going to go down to 4'11". But she was just like this little, and she had like six kids. And, you know, she was one of the classic examples of she had a obviously all-consuming career, and yet she had six kids, and she was able to do it back when, you know, it wasn't glamorous to say you did it.
Yeah.
Well, that's fabulous.
Yeah. So yeah. that's what we were going with the question is, was, and Lee, we definitely have to see this movie. Was it, because, I mean, I was looking at it, and I have to admit, I was thinking, okay, she wasn't exploited the way Linda Carter was, but then again, this was 1970, whatever.
Right.
But I couldn't help but think, are we replicating the same mistakes that we always make with the Barbie doll, with, you know what I'm saying, and having these little girls look at something that might not be the most embraceable for their body type, for
well,
what they want.
We got the feedback saying
I'm
that they're
saying.
Just like, you know, they're not looking at it that way. They're looking more athletic and more, you know, more fit.
And I really think it's the way that also the media position it, because, like you said, Elite, we never, you know, the three other Wonder Women that are here on the panel didn't think that, you know, there's a problem with her body image. But and I think most of women will go to the theater and think the same, unless the media will shift their attention
right.
to what you just described. So it's really how, you know, if how the media is putting it out
right.
there and how people perceiving it.
Exactly.
And so, ladies, I don't know if you saw the latest image or video on Facebook of this lovely African American woman doing her Wonder Woman impression.
No.
Oh,
that's
my
awful.
God, you'll die. Who saw the movie, Patty or Marav? Who saw it?
Marav.
Yeah, I saw
Marav,
the movie.
It's on my Facebook page. Lori, did you put it on yours?
It's online.
No, but it is. Now, this is a woman who, like we're discussing, is, you know, probably in the 60%. You know, she's not
yeah.
slim girl. And she just does her impersonation of her Wonder Woman. And it,
I got to check that out.
I'm checking it as we speak. I could not stop laughing with joy, happiness, what this girl went through to do her Wonder Woman. It was phenomenal. I must have laughed for 10 minutes after I saw it.
It's really hysterical. You
yeah.
didn't see it on my page, Elite? She put it.
Well,
on.
I saw it on Nancy's
so
page.
Funny.
Yeah,
it's
yeah. very funny.
Funny.
Very, very funny.
But that's inspiring. That this girl wanted to imitate Wonder Woman in her own way, and I thought that was really great. I thought it was funny and great, and I just loved it, loved it, loved it.
I
and that
Wonder
says a
Woman,
lot.
Yeah, I think Wonder Woman could just be. Any woman,
exactly.
you know?
I mean,
it's
so.
Just the title of a
could.
Movie. I mean, anybody could be a Wonder Woman.
I bet there's going to be a slew of Wonder Woman Halloween costumes, which
oh,
brings
you
probably
sure.
better than, you know, in a way, it's better than princesses who, you know, and she doesn't have to be saved. She, you know, she saves people.
Yeah,
no, exactly. And to your point, I mean, the princess thing is a bit unrealistic in my eyes.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, that's just...
Oh, absolutely.
And these little girls, they grow up with these princess dresses. But I don't even really think they know, they don't grasp what the princess is.
Right.
They just like the dresses, you know. They like
well,
the
yeah.
big frill
yeah.
and stuff like that. But I don't think
yeah.
that a girl this age will want to be saved because everybody's so strong, especially
yeah.
the women, the females of nowadays. I know
oh,
my
yeah.
daughter. She's just very strong. She would never want to be saved by anybody.
Well, you know something? It's funny because I remember years ago I was speaking at this this women's convention, and my opening line was, "I think that Disney did the most damage to women by just one line. Someday my prince will come."
Right.
And,
oh God!
Oh. And everybody understood exactly. I remember getting applause for that because. And there's nothing wrong with fantasy. There's nothing wrong with it. But just to have little girls,
mm-hmm.
and don't get me wrong, if I had a little girl and she wanted to see that movie, of course I would take her. But I would also process the movie with her so that she knows that she's not helpless and she's got, you know, a say and a voice in this life. And you don't wait for whatever the partner is, whether it's a male partner, female partner, you don't have to have somebody save you.
Yeah.
You could do it on your own. But that was the ideology then.
Then. It's not like that
I
now.
Don't,
I don't
what?
Think it's like that now. I really don't. You girls agree?
Oh, I totally agree. I mean,
yeah.
I was brought up one of 11, and we were brought up to be very independent, and you better take care of yourself. And the minute you left college, you have to find
yeah.
a job. You are
yep.
out, and
yep.
you have to take care of yourself. So I think that's where I got that independence and you know,
and
able
you,
to.
You saw Cinderella, right? That didn't, like, affect you?
God, no. No.
No, it didn't affect her.
Okay, Nancy.
No.
How about you, Patty?
Well, you know, I mean, I, to be honest with you, I don't think I've ever been into animation.
Really?
Okay.
But you
even
know the Cinderella
kid.
Story, though, right? Mara,
oh, sure.
You know too,
I mean,
right?
I saw a few of the Disney movies,
yeah.
But no, I didn't
yeah,
look
but...
at it as anything real. I mean, come on, there's singing
yeah.
and dancing
but
mice.
That's what I'm
and
saying.
Things,
I think these girls don't think it's real. They just, they always want to be the princess, you know? I want to be the princess.
But see, where does it come from, Ali? That's what I'm asking you.
But it comes from old age, you know, from years back. I mean, years back. I mean, the woman was home,
yeah.
right? Taking care of the home.
Mm.
Yes, exactly.
Now, the woman is not home anymore. I mean, there's no such thing as a woman home and taking care of the home. The woman works. As
see,
the men
now,
work.
Wait a second. Is that the trickle-down effect of economy or autonomy? This is what I'm saying.
I think it's autonomy. I really
know.
Do. I don't think it's economy.
I hope so.
I,
hope I
really
so.
Don't think so.
I hope
you
so.
Girls agree with me?
I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
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 I do.
I don't really think – I think the women need something to do now. I don't think – I think we're too smart in our day to say, I'm staying home and I'm going to cook dinner and I'm going to have everything ready for my husband to be home and the kids are coming home from school. It doesn't happen that way anymore.
And it's been a shift from generation to generation.
Definitely.
Because I know my,
definitely.
You know, my my mother's younger sister, I mean, my mom was a nurse, but she was an RN, but my mother's younger sister was a wonderful writer. She wasn't divorced, what they call it, where they like annul. She, her marriage was annulled because they were Catholic. She lived with her mother and her son. And she actually got a job opportunity. Was a wonderful writer. She got a job opportunity with the New York Times.
Oh, wow.
And her
beautiful.
Mother would not let her take. Her mother would not let her take it. And
reason
she ended
being?
Up being a secretary to the principal of a school in Long Island. Yeah.
What year was this? What year?
Well, she would have been. She would have been now. I mean, she's passed away. I'm trying to think. Now, she would have been probably about 85 now, maybe.
Yeah. But that's a very.
So
good
every
point.
Generation
yeah.
has, you know, like gets closer and you know has gotten more and more bucking, you know, doing their own thing. I mean, they're always mavericks, but every generation there's more and more. Doors that are being kicked open, if not open.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah.
exactly
well,
mm-hmm.
right. The interesting thing is I went to college, LaSalle College, in 1976 to 78. Mm-hmm. And at that time, I was brought up that the only job that I could do in my family, because my mom's 88, so sort of the same era, was be a secretary.
Yeah.
So I went
yeah.
to secretarial school because that's where she thought that's the only job I could do.
Wow.
Which
yeah.
is really interesting, and to your point.
Yeah, and when I was in college, I remember I made up my own major because I didn't want to be a teacher or a doctor or, you know, it was really fun. But my mother would call me up crying, and I'll never forget that she was crying, "Why are you taking existentialism? You should be taking stenography."
Of course.
Exactly.
You'll get
exactly.
a job. You'll get a job that way.
Exactly. I know. But
well, I launched into liberal versus servile education discussion, which, you know, made her a little nuts.
Right overhead.
That's what the parents do, you know. They
yeah.
know what, you know, the direction you should go in because that's the job you'll get.
Yeah.
You know?
But
yeah.
now, I
those
mean,
were the times.
Little
were
ones
the
are brought
time.
Up. You could be whatever you want,
right.
you know. There's
right.
more of that, less restriction, I think.
Exactly.
Oh. You know, but what I always felt, and again, this is not speaking of this time, but when you're suffocated or you're stunted by your own gender, you know what I'm saying? When your mother, you know,
right.
when your mother says to you, "You can't do this because you're a girl," I think that's got to be the worst
yeah.
thing for
yeah.
for a
yeah.
young woman.
I think that's horrible.
A young
that's
woman.
Horrible.
But that's just.
But I know. I mean, my mother, she did that in a nice way, but I knew what she meant. You know,
she did that.
Did you girls go through the same thing?
Well, no, but so I don't want, Lori, I don't want you to think that my mother was, she was just trying to guide me. It
of
wasn't,
course,
and
yeah.
there's 11 kids, so, you know,
wow.
anyone that can get out the door and get a job. So I don't think she meant it in a detrimental way. I just think she was just trying to guide me. So
sure.
just to bring, make sure, because I adore my mother, and, you know, she had a lot of stuff on her plate. But
well,
so
she had 11 kids. Hello.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, right.
That's a lot.
So,
a lot
did
of
your
kids
mother tell
on
you
her
what
plate.
You should do for a living?
Who? I'm sorry?
Your mother. Did she tell you what you should be doing?
No, and again, don't forget that I didn't grow up here. I grew up in Israel.
Right, and that's what I want to know in another different
country. And the fact that girls go into the service when they're 18, like Gal Gadot did, it's different. And my mother also had a job outside of the house.
Oh, wow.
So,
that was different for somebody that was in that time,
Yeah, but I think, like I said, I think in Israel it's different because, like I said, the girl joined
the army,
the service when they're 18, the same like the boys. They just serve,
which I
you
think
know,
is
less
wonderful.
Time.
Yeah. I do too.
Mm-hmm. So it's almost like automatically we are provided with the tools to be strong and independent. So if I've served in the Israeli army and then I come out to the market, people can tell me I can do certain things if So we kind of like, I think we kind of like have heads up in this department, and I never felt, deprived in this area. So
but I think
feel
that's a great
lucky.
Thing. That's a great way to get accomplished in life.
I totally
because
agree
they are treated equally in the Israeli army.
I absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing. I mean,
not exactly, because in my time, girls mostly went into the secretarial.
No, you see.
Areas, but
you just ruined it for me.
Okay, true, but not all of them, because if you had certain specific skills, they would accept you to different, areas. But yeah, listen, obviously it's not everything totally, pink and roses.
No, but I'm sure it's different now.
Yeah, it gave us heads up, as to, just treated us differently, because we were already out there doing things independently when we were 18. So when we come out of the service, we're basically going to the service, little girls, and coming out, women. And when you go into the job market, this definitely gives you, a huge step towards what you want to achieve. I think it's a bit easier, and also because Israel is a much smaller country.
Yeah. But they act like a big country, I have to say.
Yeah.
They do.
They really have
a big personality.
No, they it's just they do have huge personalities.
But you know something, I always thought about the concept of war and draft and everything in our country, and I always thought in terms of how it must feel to be a little boy, and you kind of think that your life is worth less than your female counterpart because you're going to go off to war and there is a 50-50 chance you come back.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought, in a sense, it has to be very rough for a little boy to go off to, think about, well, I'm going to go off to war and the possibilities that come after that, but my sister stays home and she's safe.
Right.
That's got to be a weird thing, looking at it from the other angle of the lens. You know what I'm saying?
I completely understand what you're saying. I never even really thought about that.
It's I don't think it would be like that now, though.
What do you mean?
Well,
it's totally different now.
Yeah, that's
it's,
the thing,
it's
you know?
It's totally different. Well,
it's a big deal to
enlisted.
Allow women into combat in the U.S. Remember when that was passed?
I remember that.
Before they
were
prevented from that,
Definitely, which is a good thing.
Well, here's the thing. Now, this is where I'm going to go head-to-head with you, Alitza. Now, I'm getting in position for
help
this.
Me, girl.
No.
Somebody be on my side.
Why is it? Think about this. If our bodies are capable of carrying another human life and pushing it out after 9 months, we are physically more equipped for battle than
men.
No,
I think I misunderstood what you were just saying, that
we should be with
everybody else that gets drafted.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Oh, we're not?
No, well, I'm just saying. First of all, we don't have the draft anymore.
No, I'm just saying. If there was a draft, is women included with men?
I don't think so. We haven't had the draft.
I bet you now, if they did have a draft, that we will be included. And if we didn't, we would protest about that. We would.
Yeah.
I think we should.
Yeah.
But it will happen because women will not allow that.
Yeah, we would be included in certain capacity. But going out and protesting and making noise, I think the capacity will just, will be forced to open up.
Yes, it will happen.
All right.
It would definitely happen.
Well, you know, I'm going to go out on a limb and say with this administration, we probably wouldn't get drafted, and not in the way to, you know, I always say, this is, and you look at me crazy when I say this, chivalry is the flip side of chauvinism. And I always say, I don't want men to treat me better because I'm a woman. Treat me equal. I don't want you to stand
up.
But
you know,
that has
I don't know, Lori, I have to disagree. I love all that stuff.
I like a guy opening the door for me.
So do I.
But wait a second. I open a door for you. It's just courtesy.
It's not the point. But
it just
feels nice.
It does feel nice.
Just respect. It's respect in my eyes.
I want to be treated equal.
You know, that's cool.
I stand up on the train.
But
for
do you
anyone.
Feel any less, Nancy, about getting a door open for you
that's
or anything
no,
like that?
I would open the door for lovely Nancy Donahue.
No, but I adore it. And I think I was brought up that way. My father was,
so was I.
Mr. Manners.
So was
and
I.
That's
so was
what
I.
you do, and this is how you treat a woman. And
there's nothing wrong with that.
No, and I don't feel unequal to the man. I think it's a lovely thing to do.
Respect towards
yeah.
you.
It's
all yeah.
it's really
romantic.
It is romantic.
It's romantic.
There you go.
Right.
It is romantic.
Yeah,
it is.
I mean, anybody
it.
Could open a door for you. You know?
You know something?
Yeah, but at the same way, when I enter Starbucks and there's a man behind me, I will hold the door for him because
there
it's
you
a
go.
Man
yeah,
of
exactly.
respect.
Of course, I will
it's
hold the door for anybody. It's for
right.
anybody. It's respect and courtesy. That's all it
exactly.
is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't think it's chivalry. I really don't think so.
Chivalry, I still say is a flip side. I mean,
no, if you're saying the man says, listen, let me carry that for you because I don't think you can handle
it.
That's a different story.
But wait a second. You've been with me then when that happened.
Right, exactly.
Yes.
But I'm just saying in general, that's a different story. But, and all you have to say is no.
No,
I can
you,
hit.
I
no
got
thank
it.
You. I got
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, Nancy, you can imagine she was with me a couple of times and I'm pulling it out of the guy's hands. It's not happening.
Right, it's not happening.
No,
but you know what? If you want to carry it, carry it. It's less on me.
And she walks away. It's a lovely
I could care less.
I embarrass her.
Oh, yeah.
But you know, I'm having a flashback. I'm having a flashback of one of the times when I moved and there were a bunch of guys and me and Lori.
Yes.
And the guys were stumbling around. They'd carry these boxes. They're you know, huffing and puffing. And Lori's like, give it to me,
box.
Give it to me. They're like, no, Lori, it's heavy. She would take it and fling it up on her shoulder and prance away in her little mules, leaving them in the dust.
That's Lori.
That's right.
That's Lori.
No,
right.
There you go. I know.
Yeah.
I had a similar thing with a relationship I had, and I was – we're moving, and you know, I was lifting everything, every box, everything, and
right.
the person at the time didn't do a damn thing, and it was just like, are you kidding me? And even when he tried, it just it didn't work because the huff and the puff came, and oh
yeah.
my God, it's so heavy. And,
it just
so
didn't want to be bothered.
That's where I would take over. That's where I just take over and just say, let me do
yeah.
this. You know,
don't do me
this.
No favors.
Yeah.
Now that we have everybody in good pouncing position, what are your thoughts on the Cosby trial?
Let's go around the table.
It might be,
who wants
might
to
be,
go first?
Go
raise your hands. Oh, I can't see you.
I can't see
you. All I have to say is, oh, please.
Really?
Okay.
Like, really? Like, really? Seriously? No. No.
No.
Just a big
no-no.
Another
one. No. Yeah.
What?
Exactly.
No, it's just, I feel it like the easy way out. No.
Well, it's because he's got a name and he's, you know, he's Cosby, and everybody, you know, just says, you know, I don't know
well,
if I could believe it. Maybe they're looking for money.
Supposedly.
Yeah, right.
Philadelphia.
Right. The 50 women that have no life and they really want to
right. they have
be,
nothing
you know, highlighted.
To
yeah.
Right.
With yeah, this is embarrassing. Nobody wants to be highlighted in this capacity.
No.
Come
the
on.
The problem
no,
is,
yeah.
This
ahead,
is why women don't come forward.
Yeah.
Because of stuff like this that happens.
Well,
and
especially if you got a big
gonna,
name.
They're going to retry because supposedly
yes.
and I don't know the legal, you know, language of you know, Pennsylvania or Philadelphia, but it was something in the written law that made one person say, "You know what? I can't go by this." So what they're going to have to do is retry in another state, either Jersey or New York,
mm-hmm.
both of which he's probably not going to do well in.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I mean, look, anybody you know, anybody who's a celebrity is subject
yeah.
to pariahs who want to prey on them. But you're talking about 61 women. 61
right.
women who came forward.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
he admitted. He admitted to drugging them.
Right.
What more did you need? But
and he said it was, you know, consensual. It's like, so if it's consensual, why did you drug them?
Yeah, yeah.
And it was positioned as a romantic thing. And I mean, I think the outcome was pretty unbelievable. And also, I think that maybe the jury was somewhat enamored with his celebrity. They don't want to be mad at him.
So.
But that always is a feature.
I think so.
Yeah, like, oh, no, we can't find him. You know, so I think it was a travesty, and I'm glad they're going to retry it.
I hope so soon. I really hope so soon.
They have 22 days to decide how they're going to navigate this.
22 days,
and then they're gonna have to put it through the courts and figure out where.
And what do you think about his mother? She looks like his mother, but
what
do you think about his wife sticking up
for
them? Now?
I think she looks like she's on drugs. To me, when you see her walking into the courtroom, I haven't been following it that closely, just because I try to stay off the news sometimes with all this other stuff going on. But when the last vision I had of her on the news, she was like smiling and this.
Yeah.
I thought, what is she on? Is she on some kind
She's on his money. That's what she's on.
Yeah.
You know, it's 61 years of marriage or 60 years of marriage. She's not going to go anyplace.
No.
And let's be serious. I'm sure she knew. You're married to a celebrity.
No.
There are going to be some indiscretions.
Yep.
What can you do? But, you know, To blame everybody else but him, I would just keep quiet. I'd maybe stay in the marriage if that's where she wants to be. But it's just like, who was that guy, Jim McGreevy, who came out and said that he was a gay American?
Yes.
And
yes.
his wife was standing right next to him. I'm thinking, I understand support of your spouse, but you don't have to stand there.
Exactly.
You don't have to
But
stand
you know
there.
What I think? I think this is the whole situation is so shocking and overwhelming that I think they really listen to their team advice, which is lawyers and all kind of.
Yeah, they tell you what.
So they just, they just don't really decide for themselves at this point. They just go with the flow, go with the wind.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Well, where is she going to go at this point anyway?
That's
right?
That's exactly right.
I'm sure she doesn't even live on the same side of where he lives. She lives on the other side of the house. So.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But, you know, I always think when you're married to a celebrity or some high official, monogamy is not going to be paramount in your marriage. And I think you go into it knowing that there are certain terms of the marriage that you both have to not cross the line of.
Well, if he's done this with 61 women,
he
must have had to do this from years back. I mean, I don't know if you know Janice Dickinson, Nancy, but I know she's
I do.
Right,
yeah.
But she was one of the women, too.
Yeah, Susan Silva, who was
but
on our
from
show.
From years and years and years ago. I mean, she had to know something. This didn't happen yesterday. This happened from years back.
I know. So that you brought up a very good point. And wasn't Beverly involved as well?
Yes.
Did Beverly
she
come
was
forward
involved
to?
In it, too.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes. So, but now I'm going to put something into the fire. So
go ahead.
This is... So you have to know... When I was in that during that time in a big model and so forth, you know, a lot of this stuff happened, right? A lot of it did happen. We were given tons of drugs and this and that.
Sure.
Was I ever involved with a celebrity? No. But, so, see, I have a little bit of, I don't know, I'm indecisive about this because that's happened all the time.
Okay.
And we kind of just threw it under the rug like, oh, well.
Yeah.
Right, so, see, I've seen this side, and it happened to a lot of girls, and everybody just pushed it under the rug. Nobody brought it up then. Janice didn't bring it up then. Beverly didn't bring it up then.
Mm-hmm.
So do you see what I'm trying to say?
Yeah,
I mean,
so
I
you're
know
saying,
I'm
so everybody else brought it up. So she's saying, oh, you know what? I was one of them also. Is that what you're saying?
No, my point is, why didn't they bring it up way back when?
Right. I hear what you're saying. I hear.
Because maybe they thought it. Part is the norm. Like if you want to be in this industry, you have to accept it.
That's what I'm exactly trying to say. And it was kind of like that. I mean, lots of stuff happened. Trust me, at Studio 54, at this party.
It's like the casting couch.
But it is, and nobody really. You didn't talk about it. It was kind of the norm. It was kind of the norm. And
that's the problem, because now women see that even 40, 50 years after the fact, when we come forward with information, this is what happens. We're on trial for 2 hours. People are picking at intimate details of our lives, and for what?
Yeah, but again, I'm going to go through Nancy's side and saying, you know, it was the norm, and, you know, like Mirab said, but they were all looking for some, you know, some help from him.
But okay. But you gotta, see, here's what I'm thinking.
And they thought they would get something.
There has to be some sort of, I don't want to say, that there's got to be some sort of infraction psychologically. If you're a celebrity, and most celebrities, all you have to say is, would you go to bed with me? Give them a glass of wine. People will go to bed with you. You don't have to drug them.
Right.
And especially him, when he was young, quite good looking.
Right.
Why did he have this fixation with either if there's some sort of borderline necrophilia feature in
him? You never know.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to really, really overdo it when you're a celebrity.
Right.
People will sleep with you and
rock
stars.
Exactly.
So
that's the thing I never got.
I think that was his way of not experiencing rejection.
Rejection
is always hovering, over your head, and I think this was his way to ensure that there will be no rejection. It was going to be a smooth sailing.
Could be.
Participation.
Exactly. Let me do what I want to do, because they said when they woke up, he was like all over them, and they didn't even realize what was happening at the moment. Right.
Kind of like took the faster lane to satisfaction.
Right. Let me do what I could do, and that's that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's funny. One of our guests, last month, Susan Silva, who wrote for Mary Tyler Moore and Maude and all those shows, in her book, Hot Pants in Hollywood, she had a run-in with him, and he was pretty much pouring her in a car. And she tried to get out of the car, and she fell on the sidewalk with her legs up in the air, and he drove away.
He didn't care. She didn't want to be bothered with him.
It was the way she describes it in the book, it's
hysterically
funny, but you realize that's kind of not.
Right.
It's really not a
it's not
cool
funny.
Thing. It's not,
it's
no,
not funny.
It's not funny at all.
No, it's not funny at all.
Yeah.
No. Well, he's a sick man. He's definitely a sick man. Yeah,
and
that
we know.
And the shame of it is he has done a wealth of good. To a lot of different, I mean, education, civil rights. He has done a wealth of good, and he won't be remembered. Any good that he did is really slowly going to wash
away. He's
going to
have a stain on him for the rest of his life.
How could he not?
Yeah.
How could he not?
And that's so sad, because growing up, I loved that show.
Me too. That was my favorite show. I loved Fat Albert.
And he was hysterically funny. His stand-up
was very, very funny.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
And that, you know what, I think this falls into the category of you never think you're going to be found out.
Yeah.
You never think it's going to catch up.
They're being arrogant.
Well,
what happened to me?
It's a narcissistic thing as well, you know.
Exactly right.
Take stardom to your head.
You never think it's going to catch up. But, you know, you think about Just 60 women came forward.
And
it's
just a shame. At this point of his life, he should just be retired, stay home, you know, be with his wife if he wants to be with his wife, and just be quiet. Live the rest of your life in quiet and in peace. Now he's not going to have no peace.
Well, you know what? Now he doesn't have a legacy.
No.
That's
now
the problem.
No, that's the problem.
But it's also, it's almost like it's a sex addiction, obviously.
Yes.
I mean, because let's think about it. 60 women, I mean, that's a lot of women. And, you know, how do you get it all in? How do you hide all that? That's what I'm trying.
But
you know, that's
a
lot to...
years. I mean, you know, it's been a span of like 30, 40 years, you know. If you think about it, it's not a lot. 60
well,
women.
It's a couple. Yeah, well.
And like you said, Nancy, the casting couch happens every day.
Yeah, unfortunately it does. And I think
it really
it still
does.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it always will.
It always will. But, you know, I hope, you know, us women will bring on the stronger women in the future.
I hope so.
Because I hope that the next generation won't be as, you know, fragile and, you know, be as naive.
And this is what I always say to women. And, again, not being a parent, you always have to watch what you say. And, Nancy, you have a son. So, and then, Mirav, you have a son.
She's got two
sons. Raise your children the same way. Raise your little boys differently. It's not just about raising your daughters a certain way. Raise your little boys to respect women. Raise them with gender symmetry. That's what's going to make the difference. Not just raising little girls a certain way, raise little boys a certain way.
Yeah.
That's
how
we're going to get there.
That's exactly what I did. I started when I was a single mother with my son, and I started when he started sex education in, I think, sixth grade. And that's exactly what I said. I said, you treat a woman with respect. You be kind to them. You understand when they have their period, they're going to be grouchy.
Mm-hmm.
You don't do this. You don't do that. I did ranted and raved about that from day one. I don't know about Moreau, but I'm sure you did. But that was one of my topics always, respect women.
Yeah, I think that for me it's really about them watching how, you know, my husband and I are communicating at home. You know,
yes,
I think
that's very important.
Because it's really about how you act and what not what you say. Because you can say to them from here to eternity, it's really what they see and what they hear.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
I have to bring up, I had a while back, oh gosh, there was a Huffington Post article by Gretchen Kelly called The Thing All Women Do That You Don't Know About.
Mm-hmm.
And it had to do with, you know, rape culture, sexism. One of the quotes is, it's the reality of being a woman in our world. It's laughing off sexism because we felt we had no other option.
Mm-hmm.
And then she says, maybe I'm starting to realize that just shrugging it off and not making a big deal about it is not going to help anyone. But it's an amazing article about an everyday woman, how she goes through, you know, what happens when you walk through the world on street corners, in public transportation, at parties. I mean, it's a really good, clear article, and I'll have to send it to you guys to look at, but it brings up exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah. I'd love to see that.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, when I was growing up, one of my idols were, and you always smirkily, was Bella Abzug. I mean,
yeah.
I loved her because...
She was before her time.
She certainly wasn't, and every guy hated her because she was a big... She was all heart and soul, spoke her mind, and was always there for her community, and she was there for, obviously, advancing women, but she was there for every...
Yeah.
She was there when they had the... whole big stone wall. Everybody went to her house, and they knew that they had a haven with her, that she was going to be supportive of her community in every different lifestyle.
Yeah.
And I remember just always wanting to be like that when I grew up.
Well, I think a lot of women are much stronger than they were years ago. I don't think that, you know, there's very weak women nowadays. I think we are becoming stronger and stronger every day.
Yeah.
You don't agree?
Oh,
yeah.
I hope. Yes, I think just by assimilation and advancing, we have to. But I would love to see us a little bit more.
Just
than
think,
we are.
I think that we're pretty strong right now. Just imagine us like in 5-10 years from now. I think that we will probably rule the world.
The one thing that gives me faith is the Women's March
in January.
I'm
saying.
We certainly have taken to the streets.
We bond together like nobody.
Well, that's and I, you know, the thing is, I just hope that. We do that just not when there's a chosen enemy.
Mm-hmm.
We just do that to advance, not because there's, you know, well, we have to fight this. Let's just do it because you know.
And I think there's a census that I've read years ago that there are a lot more females than there are male in the world. So if it does get stronger and better, we will, like I said, we will rule the world. We really will.
We'll be Wonder Woman
and
live on an island. And
put all the men on the island. Say bye-bye.
This is what I never want a male bash.
No.
There are certain things, there are certain wonderful qualities that we have that they don't have and vice versa. So this is
I think that we're 1,000% smarter than men.
Well, you know what? I think that we have to think differently. But I also say...
Why do we have to think differently? Because they made us think differently.
Well, see, but I also say, when people say, well, you know, women haven't done this. Well, back in the 60s when women were raising the little boys, they were raising them with the male rules. So we have
because
to do it differently now.
Right. We have to.
So
I'm just saying, every generation is different and more stronger. And just, you know, it's just going to be very female you know, bonded as we get older.
And
back to the matriarchy.
The
pendulum's going to swing back to the matriarchy.
Definitely. I definitely believe that.
Yeah, or equality. Yeah, because we have the matriarchy, we have the patriarchy. Yeah, we've had that long enough time to get balance.
What'd you say, Mira?
I think that all men know, some of them deep inside, some of them more on the surface, that women are very strong and they have a lot to offer. That's why they keep suppressing us, because they're afraid.
I don't know. My husband thinks that women should be much smarter and much stronger than men. That's my husband.
But see, I mean, my husband,
he always believes
that.
You know, you'll ask my husband, he said, you know, that we are the stronger gender because everything that we go through. No, but I'm saying, especially in politics and in the business world, I think that most men know that we are, but they're just afraid.
They're going to hold
afraid
it back.
What
they
will
don't
happen
be.
If they will unleash us.
Right.
Well,
right.
Well,
exactly.
Nancy, you met my husband. He just steps to the side. He just lets me do what I have to do.
Well, you're the husband.
Yeah, but you know, I have this idea. I'm a woman that, and I told a friend of mine, a dear friend of mine, the other day. I have a man brain. Does anybody know what that is?
Yeah, I know.
Oh,
what
yeah.
That's what we're saying.
So,
yeah,
and
because,
I think a lot
yeah.
of the women on this panel have a man brain because.
Yeah.
I actually think like a man in my business in all respect, and it's interesting. But and then there are some women that will have the woman thing going, and they, you know, do everything for the husband and do this and let me make the reservation, let me do this as this. That is kind of not me. I am like so opposite of that. So I don't know if anybody else has a man brain, but I definitely have a man brain.
Oh, I know, because I don't do any of the stuff you did, call them reservations.
Yeah, but
I
also think that if when you get into the reservation stuff, I think it's more about the control freak part of us that want to make sure that everything is perfect.
Well, that's true, too. Yeah.
No, that's true. That's a good point. Yep.
Well, you know, I saw war paints the other night. Nancy, did you see that? Mirov, did you see that?
Can you repeat?
War paints. The play War Paints.
No, I have not.
No.
Okay.
No.
This is a beautiful. This is a
tell
beautiful.
Tell them what it's about.
It's Helena Rubinstein and Elizabeth.
Oh.
And it's just amazing.
I
obviously loved it from a business point of view. But you had these two women who ran empires for 50 years a male competition. I mean, they, even though they were in cosmetics, they just ran it like in a time where every obstacle was male implied, everything that was put in their path. And yet they went on to make millions with their empires.
Yeah.
They were the groundbreakers.
Oh, they certainly were. Cobra
there was
Chanel
a book
was
on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a book on that, Lori, because I did read that about the two of them.
Oh,
and
amazing.
I forget the name of the book, but it was a great, great, great read. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was just amazing to see what they were up against. World War II, I mean, everything that, and they just ran their business and they just had to have a certain tunnel vision because that's what you needed.
Especially at that time.
Oh,
you know,
God.
Very male, heavy based.
And they did it without social media. They did it without
any
PR, right? So
it's amazing.
No.
So before we leave, I want everybody to talk about. I want Patty's going to have a little piece to a little poem that she's going to read. But Nancy, I want you to tell us a little bit about your company, Belcore.
Sure. So I'm a co-founder and a managing partner of Belcore.com, which is a beauty wellness tool for the body I invented with four docs from Boston. We launched in 2010, had an exclusive right away at Neiman Marcus, Harrods, Bergdorf, Bloomingdale's. So it's a beauty wellness tool that helps with circulation, lymphatic drainage, muscle soreness, muscle recovery, and that's my business.
I love it.
Sounds great.
Wow.
How many times have I said that? About a million.
That's the speedrun version of that.
Damn.
Wow. Okay. Well, I know your website, so I'm going to put it on the page.
Wow. Yeah. It's a wonderful website, by the way. I visited it, and I actually printed it out to bring to. I am the weakest link at this boot camp class.
Oh, well,
and the guy who runs
it
does Spartan stuff, and I'm going to bring it in and show it to him because I think he'll love it.
Patty, I carried the freaking 50-pound tent to about 25 Spartan events. The Spartan people love it. I've been to all the Spartan races. We've sponsored them for many years. So, yes.
Insanity.
Right. Talk to the social media maven over there. She'd probably look into it also.
Yeah, Mira,
I will definitely look. Yes. So JPI Social Media Management, providing social media services for businesses of all kinds. Basically what I do, I maintain their presence in this hectic social media world, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever individual needs, every business needs. And I'm partnering up with them to keep them alive and well on social media world.
That's fantastic, and that's so relevant in this day and age. I mean,
yeah,
you definitely need that. That's great.
Definitely needed.
And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give both of you, Mirov and Nancy, a copy of The Right Side of 40 by the lovely Patty Martin.
Oh, I love it.
And Nancy, I know you love
thank
black
you so
and white.
Much.
You got this book.
So
yeah, you're
going to
love it, Nancy.
Moly. Yeah.
These are non-models.
Oh, it's amazing. and how long is when was that book written, Patty?
Oh my gosh! It came out. It had a big anniversary. I think it was the
recently.
First of its kind. There are a lot of Me Too's, but I think it was about 20 years ago.
I'm definitely
due for a refresher.
Wow.
You know.
That's fantastic. Right
yeah.
side of 40.
The right side of 40, celebrating timeless women. I work with an amazing photographer called Leif Zermulen, who took unretouched, gorgeous black and white portraits of women between the ages of 40 and 63. I interviewed, they had to fill out this very intensive questionnaire. It's not about where did you grow up, what do you do for a living, how many kids. It's really gutsy.
Yeah.
And I had to distill all of these, you know, interviews into like a little, you know, like a little gem representing just a portion of what these women were about. And it was really a labor of love, and I adored it, doing it.
Oh, I'm excited.
I'm going to get you one, Nancy, and Mirov, you're going to get one, too.
Thank you so much. Greatly appreciate it.
It's one of my favorite books. It's one of my favorites. Now Elite's looking at me. You're going to get yours, too.
I didn't get mine.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Well, hopefully there'll be more. I am working on a couple of projects. I mean, to make a living, I have a freelance copywriting, content writing business. But I also do poetry, performance art, and I'm getting back in the book saddle. So I'm trying to juggle and, you know, all the different muses coming at me.
Oh, nice.
That's lovely.
Listen, maybe you need
a
sequel for the, you know,
the right
book
for
20 years ago, kind of like an updated version.
Well, you know, it's funny because when it came out, I heard a couple of people who had it, and one of them, my sister was cracking up, and I saw the same episode of NYPD Blue.
Yeah.
Sipowicz was in the men's room trying to pee, and he was having difficulty, and he turned to the guy next to him and said, I'm on the wrong side of 40.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he had to.
Well, the lovely Patricia Martin was working on the right side of aging, which I think is something that is timeless, and you could insert at any point.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's going to become more than a twinkle in the eye soon, you know.
Yeah, please.
Please.
And tell us what you're reading today, love.
Yeah.
Well, because I just think that June has some magnificent days. They're full of promise. They're not, you know, the harshness of winter's over. We're not into high heat summer, which I love, though I'm a Leo. But, you know, June has some really brilliant days. So I was inspired to write this, not this June, but another June. But I thought in light of yesterday's weather and today's, it would be appropriate to read. It's called The Farmer's Market Life.
Mm-hmm.
It's now the brilliant season. And so I imagine living a farmer's market kind of life, one that so often eludes me. I in the perfection of my new woven French market basket picked up for a song at the thrift shop. I step outside and cut a bundle of peonies this sunny June day, trying to decide between the white, pink, and burgundy purple. Heavy-headed they are, like ladies wearing layers of frilly petticoats. I decadently gather some of each to arrange in the squat green metal vase. They look so lush and abundant, I go out and pick even more to nestle in with my austere bamboo stalks. Stepping back, I feel satisfied at last, the heady scent filling my cottage. Shutting the world out, I need to shut out the world, and I am thinking this is the way to do it. Itchy itchy for more sunshine, I drive to the new sacred garden site after the party is over to meander in solitude along the stone paths among the raised annual gardens as the Zen rock waterfall babbles soothingly, minding its own business, not questioning my motives or asking anything of me. Turning into a different maze, I face the labyrinth, intricate with stone and brick circular paths. Some patterns seem vaguely Moroccan, others like man-made best attempts at industrialized nature in shades of slate and faded terracotta. Stepping deliberately, slowing my pace, slowing my breath, I know I cannot hurry to the center that awaits me with its simple stone bench. It's about the trip, not the destination, as they say, listening to the chattering sunset birds, moving one step at a time, sequestered from the chaos of the outside world, cloistered from the hubbub, the exhausting, useless energy. I find that prayer wells up easily, like another song chorus I did not know I could sing on this most brilliant day.
Wow.
Beautiful.
Very nice.
Wow.
Very nice. Come on, that's it.
Thank wow, such a thought.
I was in France.
Congratulations. Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Excellent.
We can't.
Happy to share it. Thank you for giving me voice.
Oh, and
God,
perfect on the
it.
First day of summer. Perfect. Perfect.
Yes. Right.
So, ladies, happy summer to everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. Nancy, thank you so much. You'll join us again, yes?
Oh, I love it. I love you girls. Anytime. This is a blast. Thank you for having me.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's our pleasure.
Please, a pleasure.
You're a lot
and
of fun.
Of Patty, thank you so much.
For our regulars.
And
thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies.
Thank you. Have a good
have a great
ladies.
Day. Happy
bye-bye,
Christmas.
Girls.
Have a great day, love.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Now I'm going to play. Let's see.
What are you going to play?
Right after Patty's, I have to play this, I think. Let me just find this. Now I'm not going to. Here it comes.
Let's play.
Yeah.
Should play that while her thing was
no.
on.
No. No, not at all. Ella.
Oh.
Ella and Louie. Yeah. Come on, Ella, sing it, baby.
Where are you, Ella?
She's coming.
Hello.
They don't make music
hoping,
like this no more, right?
I was hoping it was coming in a little early because it's limit summertime.
Oh,
living is easy.
There you go.
Yeah.
Why don't we do sponsors with that in the background?
Okay. I like that idea.
There you go. Who do we love?
You know what's great summer reading?
Oh.
We just mentioned her, Susan Silver.
Oh, yeah, we love that.
Wait,
it's hysterical.
Wait a second. Hot Pants in Hollywood.
Hot in Hollywood. Hot,
that is
hot,
exactly what
hot,
it's
hot,
about.
Hot, 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 hot.
Susan Silver is just a hoot, and she was on a show last month, and she wrote for Mary Tyler Moore, The Partridge Family, Love American Style.
Funny lady. Funny
Bob
lady.
Newhart. Wait a second, what else? Bob Newhart? Oh, my God, there was something else. A slew of other things. And, oh, no, I'm sorry. Some Happy Days, Laverne and Shirley.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty much everything. And her book is out, and it's on Amazon. And you know what? It's just great.
It's a very good book.
Great summer reading. If you're on the beach and you're wiggling your toes in the sand.
There's nothing better.
This is what you want to read. This is what you want to read. And it's just, it's light summer reading. If you want heavy summer reading, okay, I guess there's other books out there, but this is just fun. And you know what? Summer is about fun. Summer is about lightness. Summer is about air.
Freedom.
Summer is about freedom and laughing and making memories. It's the one season that you always recall where you were during a certain summer.
Yeah.
So laugh a little this summer. Go to Amazon, look up Hot Pants in Hollywood, Susan Silver.
You really will enjoy it. I read
very
it.
Very good friend of the show, and she's absolutely hysterical. And Patricia Martin, if you want to look at great pictures.
Yeah, that's a great
book. If you want to look at these
another great,
great black and white shots of powerful women in their... Okay. I want one powerful woman not to sing. Okay. Well, you actually
don't
get that note. Go to Amazon, and you could pick up. It's a shame for how cheap this book is, but The Right Side of 40 is an absolutely
excellent
book. It's a must for every woman at any age. Buy it when you're 20. Buy it when you're 30. Don't just buy it when you're 40.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it's great for preparation. Because when you're in your 30s, you're not really sure where you're going. You might be a little uncertain. You know, this book reaffirms the fact that you're going to be fine and there is life on the other side of youth. And I think that's what everybody needs to see. Every woman, every man. The Right Side of 40. Visit Amazon. Look up the name. Patricia Martin is the author, and you will not be sorry. Okay. You want to flip through some pages and think about some working out. If you don't have the kids close by, Muscle Sport Magazine is a very big supporter of this show. Yes. And it's got some great exercises in there. It's got some great stuff that Elite and I used to
All serve. Fluff?
That's
no fluff.
No.
No fluff. All filler.
Right. No fluff. Wait, all meat, no filler. All no, right, no fluff is my physical advantage.
Where did fluff come from?
We mixed both. All meat, no filler. That's Muscle Sport Magazine.
All right.
Again, not for the tender of eyes.
No.
Elite Ziegelman. No. So if you're reading it, maybe you don't want the young'uns too close by, because you know what I'm saying. It's just for your eyes. And again, peruse at your own determination. Muscle Sport Mag, $32 for a year.
Can't go wrong.
It's a wonderful thing. And I think that's our show.
There we go.
Wait, www.musclesportmag. There you go. But you know what we don't even do? We don't even have to do the www anymore, right? They just
MuscleSportMag.com. Yeah, because it all automatically finds it.
See, that's funny because one
point. Remember years ago, you had to put the www dot.
Yeah. So we want to thank our panel, our regular panel.
So, thank you
Mira,
so much for being
Patricia,
on today.
Patricia, thank you so much for being there. And Nancy.
Our new panel.
Yeah, Nancy.
Pleasure to have her.
Face of the 80s and 90s.
Yes.
Thank you so much for joining us. And above all, except for that caller who called in. What was his name, David? David.
No.
Go fuck yourself. There we go. I can say it. There we go. Hey, baby doll, I'm in control of the ratings, and this is what we have to say. But hopefully you enjoy the show. And thank you for listening. And go out there and do something wonderful for each other. Put a face on the smile of somebody that doesn't have one. Give them one of yours. I'm smiling at my lovely co-host, Elite Ziegelman, for making me smile today and making the show a wonderful one. And Nina, take us home. See you next week.
Nina.